inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Alex Worley. Welcome to the show. Now over to Pat O'Brien.
Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Two rock stars today, Ali Tomasby. Welcome. Here. And Adam Shaw.
Great to be here.
Welcome. The CEOs and CPO of Sportle. We'll get to that in a minute. One of the greatest apps you've ever seen. If you know me, you know I love sports. Sports loves me, or they loved me, and this app's unbelievable. But let's talk about being an entrepreneur. You consider yourselves entrepreneurs?
Oh, Ali? Most definitely, yeah.
How? Why?
Having a passion to solve a problem, to create value for people. I think in order to be an entrepreneur, you really have to have that passion to solve and create things. And I think that's
right.
What we have.
You know, everybody says that. Is passion the same as patience, Adam?
Is passion the same as patience?
Yeah. Right?
No, in fact, I think the two are not necessarily, don't necessarily go hand in hand. I think sometimes passion and exuberance can challenge
overshadow,
patience.
Yeah.
And make it, I think they're both really important. I think successful entrepreneurs have passion and exuberance, but at the same time, balance it with the right amount of patience.
Based on the name of your app, Sportle, we'll get to that in a little bit, you're obviously sports fans. What's your day at the office like? What's your typical work day?
Before we start with that, I got to give you a little bit of credit. I am a huge, huge sports fan. And the way I started becoming a sports fan was watching the Lakers in the 80s. And your voice is what I hear when I think about those
coming
days.
Coming up, so, here from the garden.
I'm going to give you a little credit for Sportle.
All right, Sportle. Good, thank you.
But yeah, our typical day.
Wait a minute, let me get that down. How much credit do I get? What's the percentage? So anyway, your typical work day?
A typical work day is we get in and we actually throw on the TV and we start to stream some sports. So there's sports on 24/7. I mean, that's what we do. So, and then we start to get forward with building the app and building out features and working on all the different facets that go with, you know, kind of growing this product.
Was it hard to, first of all, it's a risk, right? You consider yourself risk takers?
Huge risk.
Because having worked with the MLB and NFL, the NBA, and it's impossible to get rights. Did you find that to be true?
Well, so I worked.
It's obviously not impossible because you have.
Well, actually, so I worked for Fox for 7 years and I worked for the NFL for 4 years. And so what that gave me was a really good understanding of sports rights and the sports landscape. So when we set out to create a product that really took care of streaming, we didn't want to take on the big media rights holders.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah, there are companies that have been in the business of creating great programming for, you know, 30, 40 years, and have billions of dollars to spend on rights. What we recognized was there was a problem in, as people transform from one medium to the next, so in this case, from television to digital, people don't necessarily know where to find the games. And so you had a similar thing happen with music, when music went from CDs to streaming.
And Spotify and everything, yeah.
Exactly. And so sports was particularly difficult because sports rights are locked up for very long periods of times, and there's lots of different deals. There's regional deals, there's national deals, there's obviously different sports. And so the rights landscape is very disjointed. And so the decision makers who have the ability to decide, okay, now we're going to stream in addition to televising, it went at very different paces. So for the sports fan, sometimes a game would be streamed, sometimes it wouldn't be. Sometimes they require you to authenticate with cable in order to watch it. Other times, everybody.
So the landscape is always changing.
Is really changing. And so what that meant was, is that for the sports fan, they couldn't find how to stream a game. And for these big media companies that have these incredibly well-produced games, they only make money if people find it and people watch it. So what we created was a great platform and marketplace that connected the two. So it made it really easy for sports fans to find the games they want to watch. And then for the people who are presenting the games, it helped them aggregate an audience.
And we're going to get to that a lot more in the next segment. How do you motivate yourself?
How do I motivate myself? That's a good question.
You can't watch the Lakers and Celtics anymore. There's
that's
no
a good point, although I still have some of those VHS tapes, if I can find a VCR somewhere. Now, you know what it is actually, so I am also an athlete growing up, and I played a lot of sports. And with that, it's about setting goals and trying to achieve them and then making sure you take the steps to get there. And with a startup akin to a team, it's about, you know, setting goals together and working hard together to get there and building a team that can do different things. So Adam has, you know, a really great skill set, and I have a little bit different skill set. And then we have other people on the team that have different skill sets. And then together, we work really hard to achieve those goals.
So, that's very important, yes. Being an entrepreneur. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. With us is Ali Tomaspi, the CPO of an incredible app called Sportle, and Adam Shaw, who's the CEO. You know, we talk about the product in the next segment, but how do you achieve a life balance? I mean, sports, one of the biggest criticisms of people who keep track of sports is, oh, you're always watching TV, you're always on that app. So how do you keep a balance?
Well, it's great for us because when my wife gets mad at me about watching too much sports, I say, honey, I'm just doing work.
My wife used to say, you love me more than you love basketball more than me. And I'd say, maybe true, but I love you more than football. How do you keep the balance?
Yeah, I think it's important to prioritize like things like sleep and you know, making sure that you're taking care of yourself. But at the end of the day, you're working on a startup, especially in the early stages like we are, kind of have to put a hard commitment towards it and put a lot of effort towards it. So there is no normal work-life balance,
right,
but there are priorities in terms of taking care of yourself.
And the team actually becomes part of your family. I mean, you almost have a second family with the team because you spend so much time together.
True.
And how do you do that when somebody in the team isn't performing? You can't bench him.
You know, the idea
you're paying
is,
him.
Yeah, the idea is it's our job to inspire everybody to and you know, there's a lot of hands-on coaching that goes into it. And everyone makes mistakes. Ali and I make mistakes. And so part of what makes a good entrepreneur is recognizing that you make mistakes, being able to acknowledge it, and then learning from that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you don't really wear one hat in a startup. You wear many hats.
That's the key, right?
And part of recruiting a team is to let them know that that's the case for everybody. And with that, you become more of a family. You become integrated in everything you do. And hopefully you're able to motivate and figure out what makes someone tick.
As entrepreneurs, do you visualize something before you do it? I mean, this one would have been easy, I think, because this is something everybody's looking for. But how do you approach it?
Yeah, well,
I'm going to answer all my questions for
you. That's great. Yeah, and I'm just going to say what you said, Pat. we definitely had a concept, but you know, it actually took quite a bit of effort and back and forth before we figured out exactly what that user experience was going to be. For me, I have a background in product management, and it's all about solving problems. How are we creating value and solving problems for users? And for us, it was figuring out what those key things are that keep you from watching sports. You want to watch something, what's keeping you from doing it? Now in this world of social media, and there's a million things to do, how do you not miss the end of that Tigers game or the end of, you know, some big event that's happening? And what are the factors that keep you from doing that? And so for us, it was really about taking that concept, figuring out the problem, and then really visualizing and coming up with a solution.
If I might jump in.
Well,
it's actually a great question because I think Alina and I both visualized in a way that almost hurt us because there was a place that we wanted to get to that we thought was sort of the starting point of the product. And ultimately looking back, I think we would have been better off going to market sooner and learning from that experience and iterating and continuously making it better.
Forcing you to do that?
Yeah. Like but it's very hard. It's, you know, your product, your business is like your baby. And so you don't want to show it off until you think it's ready. And it's a common mistake with entrepreneurs is you have to be willing, you know, to make some mistakes, to get some criticism, because move on. We're you know, in the world today and with software, it's not a get everything ready, put into a package, and then you hope it works and you're done. It's not. It's constant iteration. So for visualizing, you can know where the end game is, but you have to be willing to sort of to say, okay, this is pretty good. You know, we're going to continue to make it better, but not hold off and have a sense of perfection because you'll never achieve
that. What are the three things that every entrepreneur should know?
It's okay to not know the answer, and it's okay to ask for help. I think especially young CEOs and young founders and first-time CEOs, there's a sense of they don't want to show their vulnerability. They want to seem as confident as possible. And I made this mistake myself, and I think most entrepreneurs do. And I think people who are looking to be involved with a company, if someone has the maturity to say, I don't know the answer, I need help, I think it's a wonderful thing. And so when other young entrepreneurs hear that, I think it's comforting because then they can say, okay, it's not just me, because everyone has that problem.
Yeah, I did too. Ali, can you give us one more?
So I really like that one, but I'd say smart passion. Not just passion, because that can be misplaced, but being smart about what you're doing, actually solving a problem and validating the problem that you're trying to solve. Is there actually a need? Is there something that are you able to create the value for that user or for the community for that? So it's about being passionate to persevere through, because startups are a roller coaster. You're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to have the windy road, as Adam was saying, but it's really important to be smart about it and also to be really passionate and love what you're doing.
Ali and Adam, thanks for coming in. All
right. This was wonderful. Thank you
so much.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. We'll see you next time.
Hey, people at my friend's company got blackmail emails.
Yeah, it's a popular type of spear phishing attack.
Wow, that sounds serious.
It is. Scammers claim to have compromising information, like a video, and threaten to share it with their contact list, unless the victim pays a ransom.
What if they target someone at our company?
We're secured. Barracuda Sentinel uses artificial intelligence to block spear phishing attacks, including blackmail emails.
Well, that's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Youth vaping is a serious problem. One issue, minors may try to purchase vapor products online. That's why Juul Labs is enhancing age verification on our website. Customers must provide personal information or scan a valid ID with a real-time selfie and are verified by a third party to ensure the purchaser is 21 or over. Learn more about Juul Labs' efforts to combat youth vaping at juul.com/youth-prevention. Juul Labs, for adult smokers only. Paid for by Juul Labs.
You should.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's check in with Pat O'Brien.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Thomas Bell. How are you, Thomas?
Very good.
And Brandon Congleton, our rock stars in ViroStyle. What's ViroStyle?
ViroStyle is a crowdfunded apparel site that allows people to put up a design for sale to their target audience with very little work, and they collect the profits of their sales, and we handle all the stuff that they don't want to.
All the stuff nobody wants to do, right?
Right. They can focus on making money, and we'll handle everything else. Right.
Is that one of your shirts?
Yes.
I like that.
Wear this every day.
Advertising. did you guys always want to be entrepreneurs?
That was always the plan, I think, for sure.
What about school versus learning on your own?
Certain things require school, certain things don't. In terms of just becoming an entrepreneur, I don't think it's anything that can be taught. And if anything, it has the reverse effect. But Cornelius Vanderbilt had a quote, because he quit school early, went to go work at the docks in New York. It was, if he had continued school, he wouldn't have had time to learn how to become a business owner or learn how to make money. And obviously he went on to become very successful and build an empire.
How many hours do you guys work a day? Is it nonstop?
I mean, I'm working all the time, even if I'm at home. But we're in the office most of the day, I would think, probably like 10 hours at least.
Yeah, usually in the office, 9-10 hours. And then when you get home, obviously family stuff. And then at night when there's nothing better to do, you hop back on the computer and continue at it.
I mean, the work has to get done. We're going to talk about this in the next segment, but the work has to get done somehow. Is it always a 12-hour day, 10-hour day, 8, 9, 15, or does it vary?
I think it varies. I mean, we're pretty flexible with the way that our employees work and things like that, if they want to take their own time. But as long as things get done, you know, people can move on with their day.
How do you achieve the work-life balance, or is there such a thing?
It's difficult, and that's kind of where you have to have that
discipline,
cutoff point and discipline of there's enough stuff to do in a business to work 24 hours a day, every day. You have to have that you have to have limits that you set for yourself to where you say, okay, this is the end of my day, regardless of how much I have left to do. As long as I hit my priorities on my to-do list, I'm going to go home.
Yeah. How do you turn that off though, Tom?
I usually get caught up in what I'm doing. Yeah. You know, ask anybody that tries to break me away from it. But when I have my son around, things like that, I'm able to turn it off pretty easily.
What's your hobby?
Well, I mean, I go to the gym every day. I like going to the beach, things like that. We're from Florida, so things that are really available to us.
And you?
I mean, I have a 7-year-old son. He's
best, his to hobby, me, the best year.
That his hobbies great. Are now my hobbies. Yeah.
Yeah. His hobbies are, Dad, can you do this
exactly.
with me?
Yes.
7-year-old, you can actually have conversations with them now.
Yeah, no, that's the fun part.
That's
when,
the great
when they're
part
when they're tiny, they cry a lot and they don't do a whole lot. But once they get to where they're playing baseball and karate and right. stuff, it gets a lot of fun.
Do you guys have a mentor? Who would be your favorite mentor?
I never really had anybody mentor me in this specific business. But
is there somebody you look up to that?
You know, I had some people help me with when I got started in the internet entrepreneuring. So, yeah, there's a couple guys. And Greg Forrester was one of them.
Mm-hmm. You?
Yeah, I mean, I've followed progressions of other companies and saw how they've done it. A lot of time on Google and stuff. But as far as a local, like, face-to-face mentor, somebody that I can call up, and I've never really had that.
See, we can get a hold of one of the Rockefellers for you.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd be a nice deal there. A typical day for you guys, is it constant work or does it change? And we'll get into your business next segment, but is it a constant change in this world?
No, he's
no
usually...
Days, no 2 days alike?
No, not really. I mean, everything is always constantly moving. We manage a lot of people in the office and he kind of handles the developers, so he's a little bit different than mine, but my day is more collaborative, I think.
Yeah, it's... I do a lot of, I handle a lot of the development side of things. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of communication and planning and project management and just kind of foreseeing that what's the workload over
right.
the next
And there's
weeks.
Day management. I mean, you both got 7-year-olds?
Mine's 6, but yeah.
Okay. Then you lied to me.
Pretty much.
No, but I mean, you got kids. And you have a job and you have families and stuff. So do you get up early? I mean, how does it, people want to
know. I'm more of a late night guy, personally. Mm-hmm. My day starts a little bit later than his, I think. But depending on what Mason has to do that day, I'm usually up a little
Mason's
later.
Your 9-year-old.
Yeah, he's 12, actually.
6 years old. Yeah. I love that age, too. But a typical day, how early do you get up then?
I usually get woken up around 7:30. 8.
Your favorite word's dad?
Yeah. It's daddy.
Dad wake
dad.
Up.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I mean, at this age, he's gotten to the point where he's kind of does his own thing. Yeah. He's learned that respect.
He's a late sleeper now.
But yeah, I try to start. If there's nothing planned, I usually have one day that I allow myself to sleep in, but most of the time I set alarms so I can get up early enough.
Co-founders and CMO and CTO of VirusStyle. Do you rely on advice of other people, or you have to at some point, right? Or is it so technical that they don't know how to advise you?
In terms of, you know, people that are out looking into our business,
uh-huh.
Not really. There's not really that much outside influence on our business, other than maybe our clients that we have on the site.
Mm-hmm. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the inner
listen to him.
In terms of the inner workings of the business, it's. Kind of specialized in that sense to where unless somebody was in the same industry or something, it's kind of hard, but it just in general business and development wise and everything like that, anybody who has done more or that has potential thoughts sure. or ideas on what can be improved, it's always good to listen. There's no reason not to.
During the day, do you micromanage or you just let Tom do everything?
There's I think the killer of a lot of productivity and creativity is micromanaging. Yeah. And I think the key to being a successful business owner or executive in general is to get to a point where you don't have to micromanage.
Right.
If you have to micromanage, you're either not training them right or you're not hiring the right people.
Right.
If they can't be proficient in the job that they were hired to do, then they probably shouldn't be there.
How do you hire the right people?
We're getting better at it. That's for sure. But you got to find somebody that's a free thinker. You know, people that can, you know, create their own ideas and come with you with ideas. That's really kind of been one of our strong suits lately is just finding the right people to fill the positions.
Right. Would you hire family or friends or is that a bad idea?
That is usually always a bad
idea. We've tried it before. It's not worked out that great.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know how it could ever work out, to be honest.
If you have a good working relationship with a family member, if you had experience doing it. I've had experience working with family members, and it's always been good for the most part. There's been a lot of success doing that because strengths and weaknesses, mm-hmm. but in general, you have to be able, they have to have the employees have to have the knowledge, or they have to know that they're, I don't want to say that they're always expendable, because that's not always the case. But if you can't hire or fire somebody the same that you would another employee,
exactly,
if
right.
they're not doing the job properly, you probably shouldn't hire them
well,
in the first place.
Well, family, at least you know what you're getting, right?
Exactly.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Back in a minute.
Your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute. I'm Vivian Williams. Whether you're 13 or 30, anyone can be affected by depression.
It's a very real diagnosis, and it's different in adults and kids.
A typical adult symptom may include the classic depressed mood, says Dr. Marcy Billings.
In a child or adolescent, you might see more irritability, cranky behavior, isolative behavior.
The challenge is that it also can be typical teen behavior. Dr. Billings says it's the change in their normal behavior that can be concerning.
They used to want to hang out with friends. Now they're not. Grades are suffering. They're struggling to get done what they normally do every day. They're tired all the time. They can have sleep problems. They can have eating problems.
Weight loss in adults is a common sign of depression, but can be different in kids.
You might see that they're not gaining weight appropriately.
The good news is that there are treatment options. A good place to start is talking with your primary care provider. For more information, talk with your healthcare provider or visit mayoclinic.org.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. I'm Pat O'Brien's Business Rockstars. Our rock stars today are Thomas Bell, or Tommy as we've become to know, and Brandon Congleton. They are founders, co-founders, CTO and CMO of VirusStyle, right?
That's right.
What does VirusStyle do?
So VirusStyle is a platform for entrepreneurs that want to create and sell their own products. So if they have an idea for a t-shirt or a hat or something like that, we make it really easy for them to create the product and then offer it for sale within a couple minutes. All they have to do is create the product and market it, and we'd handle everything else.
So how does that work, a couple of minutes?
So we have a design tool on our site, and it has all the mock-ups available for them. So if they, let's say they have the viral style design, mm-hmm. they would put the design on the shirt, they would decide what colors they want it to be on, and they'd move on to the next step. Quick title, quick description. We give them a branded URL that they can direct their traffic to, and then once people purchase the products, we then go into action at that point.
And so you have all the fonts and everything they need there, right?
Yes. Our online designer allows them to upload almost any image. And then we have fonts and some other design tools that allow them to be able to create designs okay. within the designer.
So once that's done, the unique part of VirusStyle is that you do all the work that, frankly, they don't want to do.
Right.
So tell me about that.
So, you know, the old way of doing things is if you had an idea for a t-shirt, you'd have to find a supplier and you'd have to buy the products up front. You have to buy enough of them where you get them cheap enough where it actually makes sense. You have to guess all the different sizes and styles that you want, different colors and everything like that.
It takes weeks and months,
right?
It's a
process. I've actually went through it. It's kind of how that actually happened. But, you know, after all that's said and done, you still got to find a printer. Print the products for you. Now you have all this inventory and you're out thousands of dollars, and there's really no guarantee that you're actually going to sell the products. So we simplified that process and made it so that people can just create a product and offer it for sale, and we use the people's money that actually purchase the item to manufacture and fulfill the item for them.
OPM.
That's correct.
Our favorite thing, right? How many employees do you have?
Right now we're at about 50.
Mm-hmm. 50
around 50.
And when you hire somebody, what do you look for?
It sounds kind of cliche, but
nothing's cliche in this room. Believe me, it's me.
the outside the box thinking, mm-hmm. Along with drive and just the ability to think forward. Cause a lot of people are stuck with, a lot of people are taught to do a task and they do that task. And some people do it well, some people don't do it well, but the people that we try to find and the people that people should have tried to aspire to be are the people that can think what's beyond that task. What will be the result of that task, and how can I make that better?
How'd you come up with this idea, Tom? It's not the easiest idea to come up
with.
Like
I said,
you have an experience.
Yeah, it was something that I tried to before. I was doing real estate at the time, and I tried to get into the t-shirt business a couple years ago, and I ran into those same issues. So I tried to find a solution to it. I actually ended up finding another site, and we ended up improving it and creating it our own. So that's basically how it happened.
Is there any competition for this, for VirusStyle?
Yeah, there's
without mentioning by name, because
Sure, we're one of the handful of original companies that kind of got that grew the popularity of the industry. But yeah, I mean, there are some competitors, a couple larger, one larger, and a lot of smaller.
Yeah. VirusStyle is a company, CTO and the CMO, both co-founders. You get paid the same?
Yeah.
That's a joke. how do you hire? I mean, how do you find people who are engaged enough in this kind of technology?
That's a good question. That, like I said, that's something that we're getting better at. Obviously we have an HR person that puts out the feelers, and then we give them the job descriptions, and, you know, we feel them out when they come in. If they don't fit our culture, in the office, which we actually kind of
have
the culture. It's very young. Most of the people are, you know, in their 20s. But we try and find people that can, you know, take ideas and make them their own, and you know, think beyond what we ask them.
Mm-hmm. What's the biggest mistake you made?
I've made some pretty bad mistakes in business, and it was mainly due to not having things in writing. You know, being
good point.
Yeah, so just having somebody that you thought you could trust and doing a handshake deal, and then when things don't go the way you want them to, having no recourse. That was a big one.
That's a pretty big one for everybody, right?
I mean,
because I think you meet people and you trust them and kaboom, right?
And to go along with that, I mean, I guess another mistake of mine is allowing a bad hire to be too long, to stay too long, essentially.
Right.
Not cutting the cord when we should have, because if you have one bad employee, kind of brings down everything else.
Yeah.
And if you allow it to, it can become a virus and take over everything.
Two smart examples. We're here to inform, inspire, and we are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Pat O'Brien, this is Business Rockstars. Brandon Congleton is our guest, and Tommy Bell. I shorten your name every time.
No, it's great.
You hire the wrong person, though, and you're right. You can't sit on that, right?
Yeah, no,
advice.
You got to cut the cord as fast as you can. And if you see it going in that direction, if you anticipate it going in that direction, you either address it and see if it corrects itself or it gets corrected, or you just have to cut the cord. Because if you do nothing about it, one, it's a huge waste of money. But two, that one person, whether it's because they're slacking or because they're untrustworthy, all of those things will lead to bigger issues, meaning other employees see them slack, so they start slacking, or the trust issues actually turn into a
theft. You got to get rid of them.
Into a theft. You just got to bite the bullet and cut the cord.
So what's on virusstyle.com?
So if you go to VirusStyle's homepage, right now it's a marketplace. So all the products that get launched on our site get put into our marketplace. People that just happen to be going to VirusStyle can search the marketplace and purchase products. Then we have a way, and another part of it is to learn how to sell the products.
Right. And how do you get out there? I mean, social media, right? You use a lot of that.
Yeah. So the beauty in our business is the marketer is doing the advertising for us. So, you know, we give them the platform, we give them the profit margins. They can acquire customers by spending money on advertising, whether Facebook or whatever the medium is. And they all direct all the traffic to VirusStyle's sales page that we give them. So that's how we've been able to grow.
I have a great idea. If you made a shirt that said VirusStyle on it and wear it so 100 million people could see it.
There you go.
You know?
Actually a good idea. I didn't think to do that. Might as well.
Yeah. I always
like
that.
Yours was like a football logo.
Nope, that's just a miniature version of that.
This part.
I like it. Now that I see it.
Yeah.
I like the walking billboard look.
Yeah.
How do you retain, let's say you find an employee that you actually really like. I'm sure you like all of them, but how do you keep them rewarded and invested in the company, Tom?
Having actionable, goals. Once they reach certain goals or certain times, we will reward them. Making sure that they understand that they're important to the business, giving them creative control over right. whatever they have, whatever we give them, pretty much.
In 5 years, 10 years, where are you going to be?
Well, we've done a lot in one.
Much
so.
Larger company than we're in now.
We've only been out for a year?
Yes.
2 years.
Well, two years is actually today.
Really?
Coincidence,
amazing success.
Yeah.
So how does a company grow? You can only have so many products, right?
Yeah, I mean, well,
no,
you can definitely not. We're expanding our product line, but the product line is essentially can become unlimited. I mean, if you think about how many different types of apparel there are out there, plus we're offering things like clocks and coffee mugs and everything else for people to sell. But there, you have to decide at a certain point: do you want to keep adding on and keep adding on, or do you want to have a focus and be really great at that small group of products?
But how do you make that decision? What if one thing sells, let's say a mug, goes off the charts? You don't want to stop doing that, right?
No, I mean, that's the billion-dollar question. At what point do you say, okay, this is our core product line?
Right.
And at what point do we say we need more, introducing more choices, which could attract more people? Or
so you don't
potentially
need to scale, really, do you?
The scaling is really done by the people that use the site. So we just have blanks, and they can create whatever they want. And with the Facebook's psychographic data and things like that, you can target people by what they're interested in. And that is an unlimited resource. If you can think of ways to combine different interests and things like that, some of the stuff they come up with on the site, it's really clever.
I need about 100,000 shirts say, Pat O'Brien is my hero.
I got you.
How long will it take me to make those?
How long will it take you to sell those?
Very good. I like that. You and I can play. The fashion business changes all the time. So how do you deal with that? Or do you just
feel like...
I like that answer.
I don't feel like really what we do is towards fashion.
Well, styles change,
well,
right?
Yeah, but when somebody... Let's say you're on Facebook. I'll give you an example. And you're a grandparent or whatever, and you're really proud of it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden on your news feed, you see the man, the myth, the legend t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And you just want to buy it for yourself to show.
I have 100,000 of those, by the way.
There you go. There you go. And it's just an impulse buy. So, people, there's a lot of affinity with t-shirts. I think there's never going to be an end to t-shirts. Obviously, people need stuff to wear. It's just the way that we teach and grow these marketers and how they learn how to market the products.
What are the best things, Brandon, that you've learned, the most helpful things as a CEO? Oh, wait, you're the CTO.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of share the CEO role, but in terms of the business side of it, not the technical side of it, I think just knowing that you can't and won't know everything.
That takes a while to get there, by the way.
Yeah. And in a business, you hire people that specialize in a certain thing because that's what you're lacking. And it takes a team of people to make something successful, just like a video production where you need people that do video, sound, everything else. There's not one person that can do everything. So knowing, kind of realizing that you're going to need somebody who's the strength to your weakness is essential to a successful business.
Well, 1 year in, you guys are doing great. Or two or one?
It's two now.
Two now.
Yeah. Just two.
Pretty damn good.
Thanks
for coming in.
Thank
good
you.
To meet you.
Appreciate it.
I'll be ordering those t-shirts.
So. Oh, let's see it.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is Business Rockstars. We'll see you next time.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month. That can cover a car payment or payback loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They're super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman. Brought to you by Asus.
If you haven't yet heard of Molly Burke, let me fill you in. She's a typical sushi-loving millennial, a motivational speaker, and a YouTuber with almost 2 million followers. And she's done it all after losing her vision. I spoke with Molly, and she told me that success definitely didn't happen overnight.
No, definitely not. And I think a lot of people get discouraged when they start a YouTube channel, and they look at somebody like me who has 1.8 million and are like, oh, I'm never going to get there. Like, of course. I mean, it took me a year to hit 5,000 and another year to hit 10,000. So it's really about getting into making videos for the right reason, for the passion, loving sharing your story or your message, whatever it is, and creating your own little community. It shouldn't be about the, you know, quote, fame or fortune or whatever that kind of idea might be.
Check out Molly Burke on YouTube.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. My guest today is Audrey Bellis. She is the founder of Startup DTLA, as well as the founder of Worthy Women. It's great to have you on the show.
Great to be here.
So we both know as entrepreneurs, right? The ups and the downs, the failures, the successes, the lessons learned from all of those. The biggest fear of all of us, deep down inside, is our fear of not being worthy. Right. And one of the things that I think holds people back from becoming an entrepreneur or from really living the life that they're capable of, their full potential, and having the quality of life and the abundance in their life that we're all capable of achieving, the thing that really holds us back, I think, is our fear of success. Because if we fail, which achieving success in anything, we're going to fail. Meaning we're going to learn on our way. But the reason why we're afraid of failure is because if we fail, it means we're not worthy enough.
Right.
And so self-worth is something that I know both of us have struggled with at some point in our life. And when we finally gave ourselves the gift of knowing that we're worthy, no matter what, that was when it all changed for us. And we've both been on rocket ships to success and have our own businesses. And so I'm curious from your perspective, I know you have an amazing story about how you triumphed over the adversity of not feeling worthy and just kind of the adversity that comes along with the entrepreneurship. So take us to that point in your life, and you know which one I'm talking about when you had that challenge and you had that adversity and how you triumphed over that, because I think it's really incredible.
I actually had a broken engagement that left me 6 figures in debt, and the only way I was ever going to pay that off was by becoming an entrepreneur, not by getting a JOB, so I wouldn't be paying it off forever. And I had to really dig deep and find my self-worth for that because I was embarrassed and ashamed at the amount of money that I owed, the situation that I had put myself in. And what did that mean for me as an entrepreneur? Am I worthy of going out and asking for people's business when I had gotten myself into such a predicament? Mm-hmm. And thankfully, that journey of discovering my self-worth really helped me to get to where I am today. And now I get to teach people how to find theirs.
So why do you think, I kind of touched on, in my own opinion, what I think it is, but why do you think most people struggle with self-worth? Why do you think most people beat themselves down? And the biggest person that's kind of putting them down in life is themselves.
Right.
And then it's a reflection of how they see the world. Why do you think most people do that to themselves? Why do you think most people don't feel worthy?
I think most people don't feel worthy because they've internalized beliefs about what they think actually brings value to them and determines how worthy they are. And oftentimes what happens is people put that outwardly and think, if I have this, then I will be worthy. When I have this job, when I have this boyfriend, when I close this deal, I will be worthy of love and belonging. I will be seen in the world. Mm. And the reality is you are worthy as is. No one else can assign your worth, only you can. Yet too often people put that outside and assume that other people will assign that to them when they can't.
I love that. I think that's so true. And I'm always curious to know, when did you give yourself the gift of knowing that you're worthy? Because that's a tipping point in all of our lives, that if we do get to that place where we give ourselves the gift, because that's really what you're doing. Only right. you can give it to yourself. You were just saying, right? But we try to reach out. We try to get other people. If this happens, yes. then I'll give it to me. But when did it happen for you? When did you give yourself the gift of feeling worthy?
It actually happened to me last year, and it wasn't something I found for myself. Somebody else illuminated that for me. Mm. I have a good friend of mine that I've known for many years, who's known me since high school, saw me through all this experience, right, of falling down and rebuilding. And she pointed out to me, she said, Audra, you've been working really hard for a long time. When are you going to stop fighting and realize you're over the hump? You're already there. When are you just going to learn to actually enjoy what you have? Why does it have to always be so hard? And I took a look around me and I did some moral inventory and I said, you're right. It doesn't have to be this hard. I'm fighting for things because I've been stuck in this fight mode for so long that I don't have to fight for anymore. And that's when I really started giving myself permission yeah. to live in this place of, okay, I've got this. I'm good.
Yeah. Give it up for the good friends, right?
Yes.
Audrey Bellis is my guest right now. She's the founder of Startup DTLA as well as the founder of Worthy Women. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Again, Audrey Bellis is joining me right now. And we're talking about feeling worthy. Yep. And it's something that maybe some people are kind of like, I'm a man, I feel worthy. But deep down inside of us, I think the reason why most of us don't fulfill our potential in life is because we're afraid that if we reach for it and we don't get it, we aren't worthy.
Right.
And I think most people would rather settle for a life of comfort and security than to reach for their deepest, biggest dreams and not achieve them. Because if you don't, and you reach for your dreams and you don't achieve them, you're a failure.
Right.
And you're not worthy. And that's some real stuff right there. So what do you think is the key to recognizing that no matter what, you are worthy in life, so that people can give it to themselves, because that's all that you can have?
So I like to use the line, the relationship that I have with you is a direct reflection of the relationship that I have with myself.
Powerful.
And what is the relationship that I have with myself? How do I show up at work? How do I show up in my life? You touched on this idea of people are too scared to go out and get it. And so they play small and they live small. And we look at that and we say, oh man, you're just staying there in the comfort zone. The reality is that comfort zone eats them alive. It's the one thing that sends people into midlife crisis or whatever crisis that they're having. It makes them drink too much. It makes them fight too much with their partners. Mm. It makes the reasons why they cheat, lie, steal, control, manipulate. It doesn't not show up in their lives. It shows up every way and tortures them daily. One of the things about self-mastery is you're never going to achieve perfection.
What you recognize on the journey, and that's when you realize I'm already perfect to begin with.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest key to that is acceptance. You are enough as is, not when you are enough now.
Yeah.
Not despite your imperfections, but because of them.
I love that. Audrey, you're amazing. I think this segment's really heartfelt and touching because I'm sure it's going to move a lot of people in a different way than some of our other segments. So I appreciate you for opening up, sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.